Crissetti, 3 years ago, we said to Crissetti, hey, Crissetti, you're the CEO of the Greater Peoria Economic Development Council, and we're shutting all of our businesses down, which is not, by the way, developing anything. That it, we're just hanging on back at the beginning of the pandemic. 3 years ago today was the first time you came in to see us.
And well, not was, even actually came in.
It was on the phone. Yeah, we weren't. That's exactly right. We weren't having people in here.
It was also at 5:30 in the morning, as opposed.
Oh, did we move it?
Thank you for moving it to 7:30.
Oh, we can go back. No, we're here anyway.
7:30 is
we can
fine.
Do 5:30. I didn't remember that. So, but seriously, let's go back. So, happy anniversary, first of all. We got you exactly what we got, Dave Johnson. Nothing. But we were panicking. We were all really nervous, not only about our health, but the future of our companies. I mean, a big, small, medium, everybody was like, how am I going to stay in business? Remind me what your office was doing and thinking and what you had to do at that time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we were panicking too. I mean, you start to think, I think 3 years removed, you kind of realize that the impact on the business community was really different depending on what kind of business you had. But on March 20th, 2020, everybody thought they might be shut down.
Yes.
You know, they were talking, what's an essential business?
Right.
How do
essential.
You, right.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and manufacturing and healthcare. And basically just everyone went home for a few days. It was, so it was really, so we were panicking too. Like, how do you be an economic development organization when, you know, you're in this depression is what we were assuming,
right,
was going to happen. You know, I was really proud of my staff that, you know, we all kind of rallied together and we started to try to think, what could we do? What could we do to help? And we thought, at least at that moment, that our best avenue was a communication vessel. And thank you guys for allowing me to be on this show and giving us a platform of sharing with maybe a different audience that doesn't, they're not a member of a chamber of commerce. They're not paying attention to our social media feeds, but they're listening to your show to try to, you know, give out information. So we stood up a website. We created a network of all of our friends who like are the chambers. So we would write up like an email every day for the first couple of weeks. Every day we were writing an email with information about these are the grants or these are the restrictions or these are some tips or here's a website that you go to for some advice. And I would send that email out to about 40 people and then they would reshare it and it would go to 10,000 email accounts through our chamber partners and everybody else like that. And so that was how we spent the first couple of weeks. I've never been as busy and worked so hard as I did in the first month or so of COVID.
Go ahead, Danny.
Well, and now, and we'll get to this, but now, 3 years later, we are still dealing with the changing landscape of COVID because I have an article that I want to get to more in depth as I read it, but it's from Mike Rowe, who was looking at some research. There are 7 million men between 25 and 54 that have dropped out of the workforce, and then he goes through all the stats that this economist came up with, and part of it was a lot of them still like the flexibility of working from home and going to work, that flex schedule. And so that affects, for like Peoria and other cities, the movement of downtown, having people downtown for lunch and various things. So it affects the economy. I know OSF is kind of flexy. They don't always have 800 always there, but they have at least 650 to 700 moving in and out at all times. But that flex kind of schedule affects areas in downtown.
Yeah, you know, I think maybe in general, the things that we were worrying about on March 20th, 2020, aren't necessarily the things that we are concerned with now. I think that the economic impact of the shutdown, the quote unquote shutdown, was very painful to folks in the entertainment, tourism, hospitality business.
Sure.
The rest of us all kind of got through that, right? Manufacturing got through it. Healthcare got through
business,
it. Right?
We never stopped. Right. We just changed
But
it.
The impacts of COVID in general, and I don't know how much of it you tie to it, but when we think about supply chain disruptions, you know, that that's kind of started during COVID, mm-hmm. and then all of the inflationary pressures that have, you know, jumped up because of some of those supply chain, you know, the oil cratered in the, you know, cost of oil because nobody was driving anywhere. And now it's, you know, it then it ramped back up. So you've and then the change of the workplace. And, you know, I never let my employees work from home. I mean, on occasion I would, you know, but
do
culturally,
you know?
Yeah,
do
we,
you know?
All the time, because we realized we could do it, first of all.
Yeah, we figured it out. It's much like the Zoom meeting or the Meets meeting, whatever platform you use right. for that. At first we were doing it, a lot of us, out of necessity because we couldn't be in the same room. Now we were thinking, well, wait a minute. That's just more efficient.
Right.
We have a staff meeting here once in a while, and we do it that way all the time now because it's easier.
It is.
Everybody can keep doing what they're doing.
So what we've seen is, I think, just some fundamental shifts in the way our economy works, in the way that we approach the idea of work. And I think, you know, Danny, you know, pointing out the flexibility. We had a large number of women who simply didn't go back into the workforce because of childcare issues.
Sure.
And the kind of that the leftover, you know, so we had the shutdown. But then that whole next year, there were a lot of schools that were learning from home. Well, if you're a two-parent family or if you're a one-parent family and you have a seven-year-old who's going to be on Zoom all day, you have to be able to.
Yeah, you got
to
be around.
So a lot of people just figured out. And unfortunately, some folks didn't figure it out. And then we have, you know, more poverty issues. But it was really just kind of a cataclysmic event in some ways of reshaping American society.
So I want to go back to the workplace conversation. And so we come forward from this. Chris Setti's here from the Greater Peoria Economic Development Council, started talking to us on a regular basis 3 years ago today. And at that time, it was more panic mode, or I don't know, you were panicking, but we're all kind of freaked out a little bit trying to find our way. So your information, we through our show, got to people, right? But now here we sit. Now we talk about more happy things and positive things. But a challenge that we have, I heard three different companies this weekend tell me these stories about the lack of reliable employees. And by saying reliable, I mean you hire someone and then they don't show up, or they do show up and then after the first day they go home and never come back.
Right.
It is amazing. It doesn't matter what kind of business. These are three completely different kind of businesses. And all the question I'm asking myself is, what is going on?
So now I don't want to blame everything on COVID, because I think we have generational issues.
There's other influences
that are going on
like
simultaneously. You're right.
I'm not even sure it is even remotely COVID related.
No, but I think we tend to think about every like this.
Well, it
this,
seemed like it changed over the last 3 years.
But but I do think people in general have a different appreciation for work and how important work is to them. And I think maybe some of the last few years has changed that in people's minds. I have no idea. Like the thought, you know, if, my 24-year-old self just not coming to work and not telling anybody I wasn't coming to work and just like walking off the job.
No, But
all that money that the government was giving, they're not giving anymore. So how are they getting by?
I like money. I like to have money. And so if I was 24 and I didn't show up at my nice job that was paying me $15 an hour or whatever, how am I getting money?
Well, one thing that I try to remind myself of is that I was probably a pretty lousy 24-year-old too, right? Like sometimes we put our 50-year-old brains
to what
today should be. There are way more ways to make money now than just a traditional job. So a lot of people, you know, they're gig workers, right? So they work when they need the money, right? So they turn on their app and say, I'll be an Uber driver today, or I'll do DoorDash or social media influencer. There's all these other ways that people are getting by. The influx of government cash early on, I mean, we haven't seen any of that, you know, in a couple of years. So I don't know how some of these
unemployment
folks are getting
benefits
by.
Are way down. I mean, it's not like the people are living on
you actually have to have
government.
Had a job to get unemployment benefits
right,
too
right,
so
right.
you don't get it for walking
off. Thank you for 3 years of info. We're not going to stop that.